الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge in God from the devil who is cursed. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. All praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except the one God whom no one has ever seen, the one who has created the heavens and the earth and everything in between. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God, and that he is the seal of all the prophets, that he is the last one to come in the line of all the prophets and messengers whom Almighty God sent to creation to guide mankind to the worship of one God. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace, the greetings that we hope to receive on the day of resurrection, the greetings which means may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessing, and mercy of God be upon you. I'd like to begin giving all praise and thanks to Almighty God, our Creator, the Sustainer of the universe. We seek His forgiveness, we seek His mercy, and we seek refuge in God from the devil who is cursed. And we thank Him for all of the blessings that He has blessed us with. We thank Him for the guidance He's given us, because those whom God guide, no one can misguide. And those whom He leaves to stray, no one can guide them. So we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. And we are thankful for Almighty God allowing us to be here today to do another program remembering Him, inviting people to the worship of one God, not associating any partners with Him, inviting people to a moral life, a life of guidance, a life of commitment, sincerity to the one who has created us. And that is Almighty Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. A few announcements before we get into the topic today. I'd like to make an announcement about an event that we are going to have today at 1408 Cemetery Avenue. And this is an event in reference to, we have one of our dear brothers who went to Palestine, to the West Bank. He made a journey there twice this year in solidarity with the Palestinian human rights efforts that is made there. People there trying to help those, the children who are starving, help the people who are homeless, living in tents, help the people with the human rights efforts there, the suffering that the people are suffering there. And he's going to do a presentation today at 1408 Cemetery Avenue at 3:30 p.m. And he's going to show pictures and video of his journey, his experience. So it's good to have another documentation or another narrative of the story, not just from these great, huge media corporations that we have that gives us their story. But alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God, we have a brother right from our own community who have went there twice and have brought back some nice pictures and videos of a lot of the human rights efforts that they're doing there. And this is, I commend him for that, for reaching out and trying to do something to help the human needs of people who are suffering. So this is at 3:30 p.m. today at 1408 Cemetery Avenue. There will also be refreshments and different, you know, food, finger foods and things like that to eat. So we're inviting you. We hope you come out and enjoy yourself and listen to his story. Bring your children, especially they need to hear and see the story of other Muslims suffering around the world. And so again, this is today, Sunday, 3:30 p.m., 1408 Cemetery Avenue. If you have any questions, you can text me or call me if you have questions about the event. My number is 706-459-1010, 706-459-1010. If anyone need any Islamic material from us, you need a Quran, anything that you need, and I'm going to say a link. If you need a link to any other programs, one of the brothers kindly had to be a younger person who said, you still sending out CDs? People really don't even use those much anymore. I said, wow. So they operate off links and different things like that. So we do have the capability of sending out a link to you, so you won't receive a CD in the mail. But if you just ask for the link, then I can send you a link to the program or the lecture, and you can just click on it right on your phone. You won't even receive anything in the mail. I won't have to go to the post office. I can just send you the link. You click on the link, bam, and you're listening to the program. So if anyone need any programs from us, for me to send you a link, or if those who prefer CDs, I have a lot of people who ask for CDs because they just collect them and they listen to them. And some people call and they want more than one CD so they can share it with a relative or someone that's close to them, that they want them to hear the message. So either way, anything you need from us, believe me, it's 100% free. It's not going to cost you a dime. So just let us know, and inshallah, we will send it to you. I also want to invite everyone to our Friday services, our Juma services that we have every Friday at 1410 Cemetery Avenue. We have visitors there. If you come in, somebody will show you what to do. You just come in, sit down, you know, listen to the lecture. After the lecture, we all stand up and pray, which if you're not a Muslim, you don't have to do that. You can just observe. Nobody's going to ask you for any money or anything. You can just come in, sit, observe. Usually there's some type of refreshments or food after the service, and you're most welcome to partake of that. So we're welcoming you and inviting you to come to our services, 1410 Cemetery Avenue, every Friday. Also, I want to mention our Quran class that we have every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m. And also, again, if you like to attend, you can't attend for some reason, and you like to attend from home, or you want the recording, we do record our Quran classes on Wednesday. You can just text me, call me, and I can send it to you. Also, if you need the Zoom link, if you need the link to Zoom so you can actually see the people and hear what's going on live, we can also do that, inshallah. So God has removed all the barriers to keep people from accessing knowledge, of having knowledge. So, and I also want to remind everyone that our community dinner that we have will be January the 4th at 3:30. So we're moving closer to Ramadan now. So we're going back to our community dinner every Sunday. We skipped a few months, but now we're back on schedule again. So January the 4th, put that down on your calendar, January the 4th, 26, 3:30 p.m. We will start back with our community dinner again, and hopefully you'll bring your families out and we have a big dinner because we're running up to Ramadan, the month of fasting. Should we be somewhere around mid-February estimate, we won't know until we're actually in the month and see the new moon. So alhamdulillah, these are the announcements for today. And again, I just want to repeat, because we hope we have a nice attendance today for the brother who traveled to Palestine in the West Bank twice this year to come out and listen to his story, listen to his journey, and let's gain some knowledge about what's going on around the world firsthand. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will get into our message of today.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May the peace, blessings, and mercy be upon those who follow righteous guidance. Today's topic is going to be about a chapter in the Quran that has so much benefit. It is the 67th chapter of the Quran. It's called Suratul Mulk. Most people translate that into the dominion. It is a beautiful chapter. It's only 30 verses, but it is a chapter that demands for you to think. It causes the human being to think, and this is what Islam is all about. This chapter is dealing with who's in control. It answers most of the questions that people ask, whether you are Muslim or non-Muslim, religious or not. It asks deep questions. Who is really in control of the creation? Why do some things go wrong and some things are right sometime? Is life random, or what is the purpose of life? You know, what is happening when we lose things, and what is going to happen after this life? This chapter covers all of that. And the basic foundation of the religion of Islam, the root of the foundation of the religion of Islam is that to believe that there is only one creator that is in control of everything. There's one creator that is in control of everything. And our creator is not a human being. He's not an angel. He's not anything created. He's not the black man, the white man, the green man, but no one has ever seen him. But he is the creator, and he is the Lord of all the worlds. And this is basically what this chapter is dealing with. It's bringing the evidence that God Almighty is in control of everything, and that the human being is weak. The human being is dependent upon the creation of Almighty God. And if we live our lives in this, with this aspect in mind, with this belief in mind, then it humbles us. And this is kindly what I want to speak about today in this chapter called Suratul Mulk. It's the 67th chapter of the Quran. And the opening, just look how beautiful the opening is in this chapter. It says, like all chapters in the Quran except one, they all start with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, Allah means the creator of the heavens and the earth, the most gracious, the most merciful. See, the Quran is full of mercy. It opens Bismillah, in the name of God. What? It announces his attributes right off, two of them. He's the most gracious and he's the most merciful. This is how the chapter opens, and this is how all chapters in the Quran open except one. The first verse says, blessed is he who's in whose hand is the dominion, and he is over all things competent. So the beginning of this chapter is letting us know who's in charge of everything. Because believe it or not, the human being has the ability sometime, when our minds begin to divert away from the remembrance of Almighty God, to make us think that in some way we're in control of things. And we're not in control of anything, really. And that's why God says, blessed is he in whose hand is dominion, and he is over all things competent. So really, we live in a world, an illusionary world, you might say, a world of fantasies, a world of illusions, things that are not really a reality. So we live in this type of world where we think that we are in control. And to ground us in our faith is to understand that Almighty God, He is in control. I mean, we do things in this life to make us feel comfortable that we are in control. Like, for example, we might get insurance on our homes, you know, to try to protect our homes and things that we feel that are very close to us. But what happens? God sends a flood and sometimes destroys those homes. You know, we plan careers, and the careers are supposed to set this safe standard for us in life to provide for our provisions and our families and the type of lifestyle that we want to live. But what happens? Sometimes our illnesses, sickness comes into our life, and it interrupts all of our plans. You know, even in the technical world today, you know, people say, well, you know, I feel secure with all of my data, with all of my pictures, because I send them to the cloud. I store everything in the cloud. So it doesn't matter what type of phone I have, because I feel secure with all of my data, with all of my financial matters, because I send these things to the clouds. But what happened? The technology, the computer, all of these things break down, it crashes, and you can lose all of those things. So we're really not in control. But we do these superficial things sometimes to make us feel that we are in control. So Almighty God lets us know in the beginning that He is in control. He is in control of everything. He is in control of your heart beating right now. He's in control of you breathing right now. He's in control of your hearing and your sight right now. He's in control of everything in creation, everything on us, everything that lives, everything that exists. God Almighty is in control. Not the governments. The government is not in control. Some people think because they have a big army. We've heard people brag about that lately, that we have the most powerful army in the world. Well, that's what Pharaoh said. And that's what many other people said, that they're in control. But God Almighty is letting us know armies are really not in control. And you have the wealthy people, people who have billions of dollars, and that money have made them feel that they are in control. But what happens? We know that many of them, they lose that money, and especially when they die, that money is given to someone else, so they're not really in control. It's a false sense of security that people who have wealth believe they're in control. So this chapter, it basically resets the way we see the world. Surah Tumuk, beautiful chapter. Again, blessed is he in whose hands is the dominion. And he is over all things competent. Everything that God has created, he has the power and the ability to provide for it, to secure it. This is God Almighty. And so this chapter shakes the mindset of the human being when you read it. It guides us to a reality that many of us don't want to face. It shapes the way we see the world, really. If you see the world as just a world of desires, a world where you think that you have pockets of control, this chapter brings you back down a few notches to let you know that you don't have any control. So it reshapes the way you see the world. And if you're an arrogant person, it removes that arrogance from you if you read it with sincerity. It builds humility, and it prepares us for the grave and the hereafter. And this is the most sensitive part of this chapter, that it prepares us for the hereafter. So the ultimate ownership, we might say, and control do not belong to human beings. It doesn't belong to governments. It doesn't belong to people who have money. And it doesn't belong to people with technology. Because it invites us to understand who's really in control. Now, you might say, I control some things. I control my phones. But we can't control our heartbeats. We can control these materialistic things to a certain limitation. But Almighty God has no limitation on what he controls. We can control sometimes our schedules, but what happens? Sometimes they're offset. Sometimes things interrupt them. So if everything that we rely on can disappear overnight, then where does real security come from? If everything we have and everything we own can just disappear in a moment, then what is the real reality and where is the real security? I mean, you see people all the time with these floods and tornadoes and things that come through and just completely wipe out their total material existence. And they said, well, we have nothing. Everything that we'll own is gone. But before that, they believed that they had the security. And just in seconds, everything that they had is gone. So this chapter, Surah Al-Mulk, 67 of the Quran, it takes us to another reality in verse 2, when it says that he meaning God, the creator, that he created death and life to test you as to which of you is best in deeds. And he is the exalted in might, the forgiver. It is he who created death and life to test us to see who it is who is best in deeds. You still need to know your purpose of life. You still need to know what this creation is all about. When God says it is he who created death and life. So what does this mean? It means that Almighty God has created this creation for us as a test. No more than that. Almighty God mentions death before life. You notice that in this verse. Because death is more certain than life. You hardly find any person who says they're not going to die. That's not an argument to even be had, because they see everything around them dying, leaving this world. So that's not an argument. The purpose of life is not comfort. And this is where many people get it wrong, especially young people who feel that life should be a life of comfort, a life of joy, a life that doesn't have any pain whatsoever, a life that has no challenges, no difficulties. They just want to have fun. And when that doesn't happen for them, then depression set in, anxiety set in, and many other causes that cause them to go astray. But the purpose of life is not for comfort. The purpose of life is not for wealth. The purpose of life is not for fame, you know, to be famous. The purpose of life is to be tested. The purpose of life, this life, is to be tested. And if you want to pass the test of life, God says, I have created you to worship me. If you worship God, keep your focus on God, then you will be successful. So number one, number two, this chapter is letting us know that Almighty God didn't create us for comfort. You know, for people who say, I just want to live a normal life. What is normal? Everybody has trials, difficulties. And this is part of the test. This is part of the test. And the test is not to see who does the most deeds. That's not the test. That's not part of the test, to see how many deeds you can do. But the part of the test is who does the best deeds. These deeds that are done with sincerity, these that are done with the correct intentions, and these that are done consistently. These are the three parts of the test. That when we do the deeds, the best of these are those that are done with sincerity, meaning that you're not doing deeds and acts of worship to please people or to show off. And you're doing it with the correct intentions. You're doing them to please Almighty God. And you're doing them on a consistent level. You're not a sometimey person. Well, today I'm worshiping God and tomorrow I'm worshiping Shaitan, the devil. No, you're doing consistent deeds, good deeds, as much as you can on a consistent level. And so we should ask ourselves, really, by what God has just told us, that he has created death and life to test us, to see who it is that does and who is best in good deeds. So we should ask ourselves, if we died tonight, would my life pass the test? See, this is self-evaluation. If I died tonight, would the work that I've done so much in my life, would it pass the test of Almighty God? Or if I die tonight, can I feel assured in some way, some comfort, that I've used my time in this life to please Almighty God? Or if I die tonight, could I feel secure and feel confident in my heart, somewhat, some type of contentment, that I believed in God in the correct way and did not associate any partners with Him? These are questions that we should ask ourselves, because it's a check upon ourselves. It's a self-evaluation to try to put ourselves and adjust ourselves in line with what Almighty God wants us to do. These are the things that resonate really deeply within the soul of a person who is concerned about their hereafter. These are questions we ask ourselves, that when I'm laying in the bed and I close my eyes, am I concerned about if I'm going to wake up in this life or wake up somewhere else? And if I wake up somewhere else, can I have some type of contentment in my heart that I've done as much as I can with the ability that Almighty God has given me to try to do as much as I can in this life to please Him? That is the question. Because God says He created death and life. Why? Because before this life, you didn't exist. It was like death. And then God gives us life. And then again, He will give us death. And then again, He will resurrect us to be judged by Him. So these questions that we asked ourselves, why do moral people suffer? Why do powerful people escape justice? Why does good not always win in this world? See, these are questions human beings have, all of us, whether you're a believer or a non-believer. These are questions that people internally ask themselves all the time. What is the purpose of life? Why do people who we see trying to do good in this life, why do they suffer sometimes? Why, when we see people in this life doing good and trying to do good and have a faith and a spiritual foundation, why sometimes do we see them suffering? Why does not good win all the time? And why do we see people who don't have any faith in God whatsoever and they don't practice any type of faith? Why do we see sometimes people say they're prospering? They have wealth. They have the finer things in this life, because all of those things don't mean anything to God. This world and everything in it doesn't mean anything to the Lord of all the worlds. It's not a value system that is going to cause you to enter paradise. It can cause you to enter hellfire, but it's not going to cause you to enter paradise based on how much wealth you accumulate in this world. No. Because God says He created us, He created death and life to see which of us is best in deeds. So it is the deeds that are the currency of the hereafter. It's the faith that the iman that we have, that is the currency that God is going to evaluate and go through and see if those deeds were done with sincerity. Were they done with humility? Did you have a commitment when you did those deeds? This is what this chapter is asking us to do, to think, to think. So this is a testing ground. And if you think it's anything else, then you're far, far away from the truth. And as long as we believe it is a testing ground, when those trials come to us, then we know it's a test. So just put on your seatbelt and get ready and try to work through it until Almighty God relieve that burden or that hardships that's been put on you, because that is the test. Whether it's dealing with money, whether it's dealing with your children, your wife, your husband, whether it's dealing with an illness, whatever it is, strap up, put that seatbelt on and just endure it and try to work through it and keep your faith in Almighty God. So this is the beauty that Almighty God is explaining to us in just two verses of this chapter. It's 30 verses we could go through. But in two verses already, we understand who's in control of everything and who will be in control of everything until the day this world do not even exist anymore. Man is weak. God says he's created us weak. We have no power to make it rain. We have no power to bring out the sun. We have no power to move the clouds. We have no power to make anything grow. We have no power whatsoever. We don't even have power over ourselves. You can't stop your eyes from blinking. You can't stop from going to the restroom. You can't stop breathing and regulate your breathing by yourself. No, you can't do any of those things. So what power do the human being have? We have no power at all. So we learn in the first verse who has the power. And the one who has the power is the one who has created us. Not a human being, not a prophet, but the one who created the human being and the one who created the prophets. We always have to remember that anything that is created, anything that we can touch, smell, feel, anything that we can see, cannot be your God, because God is not created. God is the creator of creation. Anything that you can see, feel, touch, that's creation. That is creation. God is the creator of creation. He is not creation, but he is the Lord of all the worlds. And so we've learned what this world is all about. We know that it is a testing ground. It's not a playground. It's a testing ground to see who it is, who is best in deeds. And God says at the end of this verse to know that he is the most forgiving. He is the most exalted in might, and he is the most forgiving. So in this test that we're taking, if we make an error, if we make the wrong decisions while we're taking this test, God is forgiven if you ask him for forgiveness. See, with the test of Almighty God, you can go back and correct yourself. I mean, you can scratch that out and get the answer right. But there's a process. You have to acknowledge, oh, I got this wrong. I need to change it. So now I'm going to ask repentance from Almighty God, my creator, and let him know that I made a mistake. I did wrong. I went left when I should have went right. I don't intend to do this again. Ask for forgiveness from God. And God says he is Al-Ghafur and he is Al-Rahim. He is the most forgiving and he is the most merciful. So two verses. And you see the beauty that Almighty God is relating to his creation. God wants us to know that he is in charge and why we were created. We were created to worship Almighty God. And worshiping him will get you through this test. Now, if you look on verse 3, God Almighty says, and who created the seven heavens in layers? You do not see in the creation of the Most Merciful any inconsistencies. So return your vision to the sky. Do you see any breaks? So, like I said, this chapter is to make you think. I mean, it makes your mind wonder. It puts some work on your brain if you think about it. So if you just look at this beautiful verse that God just mentioned now, you can't just pass over it and read over it and that's it. You have to understand what God is saying. God says, who created the seven layers, the seven heavens in layers? Meaning that there are seven heavens above us in layers. This earth is a small thing that God created. It's not the biggest and the largest thing that God has created. I mean, look at the sun. Look at the moon. There are Milky Ways that you can put millions of Earths inside. The earth is a small thing. You can't probably even see it on the big scale of things. But God says it is he who he created the heavens in layers. And look what he says. You do not see any inconsistencies in what he has created. And so he challenges the reader. He challenges the human being. So return your vision. Send your vision out to see if you can see an inconsistency in the heavens or the earth. Is there any break? That's what God is saying. Is there any break of inconsistencies there? Is there any break? No. So God is letting us know that it is He who's created everything in perfect precision. You will never see a break or an inconsistency in the heavens and the earth. So this take thought. I mean, have you ever went somewhere and just sit alone and looked out into the heavens, how beautiful and magnificent it is? The clouds, the sun, the moon at night, the stars that hover above us, how the sun comes up every morning in the east and it sets in the west. Is there any break in that? This is what God is asking. Do you see any flaws when you look out into the heavens and the earth? Do you see it? God says, let your vision go out and look. Making you think, making us think. God says, again, send your vision out again. Go look again, God says. It will return to you worn out. And the fourth verse says, actually, then return your vision twice again. Look again two more times. Your vision will return to you humbled in fatigue, meaning your vision is tired of even looking out because it can't find any flaws in the creation of Almighty God. What does this tell us? See, God is wanting us to think. Take the next step. If there is perfection in the creation, you don't see any flaws in the creation, then what does that tell you? There has to be one creator. One creator. It cannot be two creators. Because if there were more than one creator, surely you would see flaws in the creation of the heavens and the earth. If there was more than one God that has created everything that we see, then surely you would see flaws and inconsistencies in the heavens and the earth. But you don't see that. And there's nothing in the heavens and the earth. When you look out into all of that beauty, all of that vastness, there is nothing out there that would tell you that God Almighty is a man. Is it? No. There's nothing that tells you that God is three in one when you look out into the heavens and the earth. No, it doesn't tell you that. There's nothing in the heavens and the earth when you study the heavens and the earth in all of its beauty. Nothing will tell you that God has a son. But what it does tell you, that there must be one creator who designed all of that. Because God said, surely if there was more than one, surely you would see confusion in the heavens and the earth. So when God says, look again, do you see any flaws, any mistakes? No, you have to say, we don't see any mistakes. The consistency of physical law, that's what we see. We see the precision of the ecosystem that Almighty God has created. We see the balance that is required in the heavens and the earth to keep the human being alive with the heat and the coldness and the four seasons that Almighty God gives us. This is what we see. Even scientists today will admit that the universe runs on fine-tuned laws. This is how it operates. You know, man, long time ago, didn't know that. They came up with all kind of evil, superstitious type of ideas. But scientists today with technology is confirming and agreeing with what the Quran is saying. It's that the universe runs on fine-tuned laws, that the day does not outstrip the night and the night does not outstrip the day. It runs on laws in orbits, that the sun, the biggest and brightest thing that we see in the heavens and the earth, it provides sun and it provides light for the moon. That the moon on itself is only a reflection of the sun. Scientists today is confirming and agreeing with the Quran in all these scientific matters. So the question isn't whether order exists in the creation, because God is letting us know You don't see any breaks. You see order when you look out into the heavens and the earth. So it's not whether we believe order exists or not, but why it exists. See, what is the why behind all of it? So Almighty God calls us to look at the sky, look at the stars, look at all the perfection. Then God says, your sight will come back to you all worn out. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you actually get out in nature. You know, people live in the city all the time, running fast, moving all the time, you know, with the lights everywhere. And, you know, your schedule is so busy, you know, all the noise, the ambulances, the trains, the cars, all of the stuff that's going on in the city all the time. People don't really understand these verses of the beauty of the creation. It's missed. It's missed because you never leave the city. Your extent of looking out into the creation of God is just looking up above. Maybe you don't get out and walk. Maybe you don't get out and go to places where you can really see the vastness of God's creation. But this is a lesson. This is going to school when you do it. Because God is telling you this is one of the ways that you're going to acknowledge that he is in control, that no human being could create all of this beauty and vastness and, you know, complicated systems that exist in the world. God is going to let you know, hey, no man can do this. See, if you just live in the city life, you're not going to understand it. But the people who grew up out into the country, people who lived in the desert, they could see this. You have sailors who go out on ships. They talk about how it looks like the moon is just sitting on top of the water. They just say, my God, it's no way that a man could create all of this. There has to be a God. When they look up into all of that darkness and they see that beauty of the how Almighty God has decorated the sky with the stars, and there's the big old moon out there, and it's just the vastness of the darkness at night. I've heard sailors say, man, it is something unbelievable to see that. If you want to see God at work, if you want to see his beauty, how he's turned the lights out all over creation. You know, there's light in some places, but where there exists on the ocean, everything is black dark. And God has decorated the heavens above them with a beautiful lamp that we call the moon. Stars sprinkled the stars across the sky to beautify it and for it to work in what God intended for he created it for. So this third verse, God is really challenging the human being to think. Think. This chapter is not telling you to shut off your brain and believe, but it's telling us to think, to ponder, to analyze, and you will come to the conclusion that there is only one God. And you can read the entire Quran. And when you read the entire Quran, you got to come away with there's only one God. That's why the most important pillar in our religion, in Islam, is the belief in one God and not associating any partners with him, that he has all power, all control. No one is helping him. He doesn't have meetings with people, have meetings with other parts of creation to decide on anything. Like he said in the beginning, he is the powerful and he has control over all the dominion. So this third verse and fourth verse is letting us know through creation, the power that exists with Almighty God, and that the human being is weak. The human being is weak. And the human being has to remove arrogance to become humble. So the human being often feels, because sometimes Almighty God has blessed us with certain things in this life, that sometimes we often feel that we are self-sufficient. But we are not self-sufficient. We are dependent. You know, if you think about it, and this is why this chapter is so beautiful. I mean, it's a reality check, because it lets you think about the small things that we sometimes overlook. You know, just look at this, for example. if our airway get blocked, who can help us? That's helplessness. We can't even breathe if a part of our airway get blocked. If we get a virus, look, show you the weakness of the human being. The virus, we went through the COVID epidemic. How weak was the human being? Everything shut down. Mostly everything shut down. People couldn't even leave their homes. From what? A virus, something we couldn't even see with our eyes. People were dying. Is the human being in control of something? No, just the virus completely almost shut down the natural, regular function of the human being around the world. You know, if our power fail, just think the lights go out in the city. What does the human being do? Panic. If the power go off in your house, what do you do? Panic. You're struggling and wanting to get it back on because you are dependent. We're dependent upon these things that God Almighty has complete control of. So if we are so advanced, my meaning is, if we are so advanced and in control of everything, then why are we so fragile? God is letting us know that, man, you are weak. Don't be arrogant, and don't be arrogant with me. Don't have an ego, but you have to be humble. God says in the Quran that the only way the human being can come to him is as a servant. You can't come to God as his buddy. You can't come to God as his partner or his associate. But the only way we can come to Almighty God is as a servant. Now, another thing that this verse mentions, it talks about accountability. Accountability, not a ritual, but accountability. Every society believes in responsibility, those that are functioning properly. Just like a court requires what? Justice. Every moral system that we know of expects consequences. Yes, there's consequences for everything. Every moral system that we have, court system that we have, social system that we have, there is a consequence behind the decisions that are made. So if accountability exists in every system that we design as human beings, why is it unreasonable to think that accountability exists beyond this life? See, some people believe in accountability in this life. There has to be accountability for what people do. This is what some people preach. There has to be consequences for every action that we take in life. If somebody wronged me, I want justice. I want fairness. I want equality. I want freedom. This is what some people preach. Most people preach this. I want freedom. I want fairness. I want peace of mind. If somebody wronged me, I want justice. So why would you not believe that after this life, there's going to be accountability? And that's why God warns us in this same chapter that I'm reading about right now, that there is accountability after this life, that we do believe in the hereafter. We believe in accountability. We believe in the resurrection because it is the truth. And ignoring the truth, it also has consequences. Ignoring truth, it has consequences. Arrogance, what does it do? It do. It builds blind perceptions for people because your arrogance making you feel that there's no accountability, that there will be no justice done for the things that you've done in this world, which you think you're going to get away with. You might get away with them in this life with those actions that you've done against other people, but you will not get away from them in the next life, because this is the major accountability that every human being will have to face. So morally, when you deny the truth, it hardens the heart. It makes the heart more conditioned to accept the falsehood that you inject into it. So Almighty God, in this same chapter, it describes the people who disbelieve. It talks about the hellfire. And we do believe in the hellfire. We believe in paradise and we believe in the hellfire. And if you look in the sixth verse, it says, and for those who disbelieve in their Lord, it's the punishment of hell. And for those who disbelieve in their Lord, it's the punishment of hell. And wretched is the destination. So that's the consequence. Those who disbelieve in their Lord, it's the destination of hell. Is that just or unjust? It's just. Because your Lord, remember, he's in control. And this life is a test. It is like the person who's saying, I don't even believe it's a test. You know, your professor say, close your books. We're going to take a test today. And you don't even believe it's going to be a test. You know, your other students might be telling you, hey, we have a test every Friday. You say, I don't believe it's going to be a test today. These are the disbelievers who are saying, I don't believe in the hereafter. But God says, for their disbelief, they will be in the hellfire, and wretched is their destination. And God goes on to say, and when they are thrown into it, meaning to the fire, when they are thrown into it, they hear from it a dreadful inhaling while it boils up. Now, there are some very serious descriptive ways Almighty God describes the hellfire in the Quran. I mean, God gives it to you straight. He describes how it's going to be, when it's going to be, how long it's going to be, these punishments that God described in the Quran. And this is just because God describes how beautiful the paradise is going to be, how long it would be, how beautiful it would be, the different rewards people would get, the different levels in paradise. So on the flip side, he describes how severe the hellfire is going to be. So God says, and when they are thrown into it, not that they just going to voluntarily walk in there, but God says they will hear from it, you know, the dreadful inhaling of the fire. And it's boiling up. It almost bursts with rage, God says. Every time a company is thrown into it, its keepers, because we believe that the angels, God says, there are angels who are keepers of the hellfire. That's what they do. And they don't have any compassion or mercy for those who are entering it. You see, it's not going to be somebody at the gate of hell going to be sympathetic with people going in there. No, they don't have any compassion, mercy whatsoever. That's why they're at the door of the hellfire. God says it almost bursts with rage every time a company is thrown into it. Its keepers ask them, the angels, the keepers ask them, did there not come to you a warner? They're even questioned when they're getting ready to enter the fire. They ask them, did not someone come to you and warn you of this? What would they say? They would say, yes, a warner came to us, but we denied and said, God has not sent down anything. You are not but in great error. This is one of the things they would say. Did not a warner come to you? Yes, but we denied. And we said that God hadn't sent down anything to anybody. And you have people who say that today. So God says, they will say, if only we had been listening and reasoning. This is what we're talking about this morning. God is taking you through a nature walk, telling you to look through the heavens and the earth, examine what he has revealed, analyze it, see if you see any breaks, any inconsistency with it. And if you don't, then recognize that God is the creator of all of that. Know that he has control of all of that. Know it is he that has power over all things. This is what the people that went into the hellfire, this is what they said. If only we had been listening. You try to give people some good advice, what do they tell you? No, I'm good, bro. I'm good. I don't need that. No, bro, I'm okay. If only we had been listening and reasoning, rationalizing, contemplating, pondering. This is what the people of the hellfire would say. If only we had been listening and reasoning, we would not be among the companions of the fire. Man, man. We have to get out of these social groups, family groups, traditional groups, cultural groups, where you say, I can't break the chain. Even though you know the truth, you say, no, I got to hang with the family group, the cultural group, you know, the social group, because I can't break that chain of us being this or that for so many years. When God says, if only, this is what they would say, if only we would have been listening, opening up our ears, listening and reasoning. So God Almighty lets us know that there is a consequence for denying the truth. Knowledge comes with a responsibility. Knowledge comes with a responsibility. And ignoring truth has consequences. We need to remember that. Knowledge comes with a responsibility. That responsibility is to accept it, to act upon it, to disseminate as much of that knowledge as we can to help others. But knowledge comes with a responsibility, and ignoring truth has a consequence. Everything has a consequence. Somebody's trying to tell you what's right. You hear these grandmothers say all the time when they visit, or when their grandsons or granddaughters call from prison and they're crying, snot running out their nose, saying, I got 20 years, I got 30 years, I got life. And these old grandmothers say, if only you had been listening, if only you had listened to me, if only you just had reasoned what I said, you wouldn't be behind those walls for life. If only you had been listening. People lose their lives. People in wheelchairs from gunfights and all of these other things. And what do these grandmothers and mothers say? Boy, girl, if only you had listened to me, you wouldn't be in the condition you are today. So this beautiful chapter that Almighty God has given us today, we say, Alhamdulillah, I just got through maybe 5-7 verses. Hopefully we can pick this up and continue. It's only 30 verses. It is a reminder for us to remember who's in control. And the one is in control is the one who has created all of us. Until next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace. And I pray that Almighty God lets these verses enter your hearts, penetrate our heart, and put us on and keep us on the path of guidance to help us and help our families and to secure us a place in paradise on the day of judgment. May God give us good in this life, good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.